B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Story last night, which I rarely ever do. I use my Insta story. There we go. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Coming up in it, we're going to talk to Ron Jaworski. And we also have to tell you how you're going to win maybe.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Maybe you can win maybe $1,000 with our Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway.
97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest 5K a day free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
This hour's keyword is listen. Listen. Enter the keyword listen on the Fanatic app. 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting listen to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. And we'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword listen on the Fanatic app. 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting listen to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway is presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Good luck. You know, for greater clarification, Trey, we need to talk to a man, been there, done that, and seen just about everything since he hung up his spikes. And that's our good friend, Ron Jaworski, and he's on the line with us right now. Ron, thank you for helping us wrap up the season on what is no longer really a football Monday or football Friday for us.
No, it's season's not over yet. It is for the Eagles. First of all, guys, Mark, Trey, Bob, been a pleasure being with you guys every Friday throughout the season. You guys worked your tail off, had great information. Happy to join you guys and just add my two cents.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to have you on, Jaws, of course it is. And, you know, I try not to freak out over press conferences, Jaws, and there's so much to get to, but the thing that everyone's talking about today is still the press conference where Doug Peterson initially said his offensive coordinator and his wide receiver coach would be back. Yes, they'll be back. And then backtracked a little in the press conference, and then 24 hours later, not even, I guess the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, said, no, those two guys are gone. So what is your take on all the things that have taken place over the last 48 hours?
Yeah, it really was bizarre, and I really don't have an answer. And I think eventually the truth will come out. Everyone is kind of looking behind the door, seeing if they could find anything. Is it Jeffrey Lurie calling the shots? Is it Howie Roseman calling the shots? Is Doug calling the shots? It's just bizarre. It was a very strange press conference. It seemed at least from what I saw, Doug looked a little bit uncomfortable the way things have been shaking out, but. You know, these things happen. You know, it's unfortunate, but they happen. Certainly the season ended in a strange way, and it continues to be very strange.
So what do you want to bring in now? If you're, let's say you're an advisor, you're in the front office with Howie or Doug, would you want to bring in somebody that Doug can have, I don't know, somebody with more pedigree, like a Mike Caldwell, for instance, or would you bring somebody in like a Kevin O'Connell out of Washington, who was a third-round draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, as a quarterback, someone that's a little bit more green? What would you go to, and what do you think the Eagles will go to help out this coaching staff in replacing Mike Rowe?
I would bring in a veteran, proven coach. I've always been kind of a believer in that, at least from my perspective. As a head coach, I believe it helps a head coach to have a resource that has been through the battles, been through the wars, understands what it takes to be successful. I don't want a future coach in training. I like a guy that, that when he speaks, people listen and they respect what he has to say. And I think the smart coaches in this business are successful because they surround themselves with quality assistant coaches and they listen to them. That's why I would recommend getting a veteran coach that understands how the NFL works.
I 100% agree with you, especially after going with someone who did not have a lot of experience in Mike Groh, someone that spent maybe 6 years in the NFL versus a guy like Frank Reich who was here and has been in the NFL either a coach or a player for a combined, 30, 35 years. Do you think the Eagles, though, if you're making a prediction, do you think the Eagles will go in that direction?
I would think so, although there's no guarantee. You know, Doug works in different ways, and, you know, hey, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been successful. But now the question is, you know, can you be successful long-term? Can you win multiple Super Bowls? And as thrilled and happy as we were a couple of years ago, hey, we want more. And that's just the nature of sports. It's the nature of the fans. And, you know, it's up to Jeffrey and Howie and Doug, you know, and everyone in that front office to get it right again. This division is going to be a lot tougher. Mike McCarthy is an excellent football coach. I've known Mike for over 20 years. I used to go to Green Bay in the off season for their training camp. Mike used to run, in my opinion, the best off season quarterback training camps in the National Football League. Dak Prescott will be a better quarterback under Mike McCarthy than he ever was. Mike McCarthy is a good football coach. Ron Rivera, we are very familiar with Ron Rivera in this community. He was a coach here. I played against Ron when he was a Bears linebacker. He is a class act, and he knows how to coach. So the coaching level has gotten a lot better. I'm not real familiar with Joe Judge, but you look at his pedigree, he's been around. There's got to be something good about him. He's a Lansdale guy, so he's a local guy. But this division just got a lot tougher, guys. There's those slappy coaches that have been hired. So, you know, the Eagles have to continue to improve.
Well, I'll say this, Jaws, if we're just basing things off press conferences like we are this week with the Eagles, the Giants just won the Super Bowl. Because I don't know if you caught any of Joe Judge's press conference. It was better than McCarthy. It was better than Ron Rivera. And it was certainly better than Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. He looks like a very intense head coach for a 38-year-old going into his first gig.
Yeah, and especially when a guy is kind of the, you know, guy that's at the bottom of most people's list. And you know, as you guys know, I was involved with the search committee to hire the Eagles coach 4 years ago when we chose Doug Peterson. Yeah, that worked out pretty good. But it was an incredible experience for me being with, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Don Smolinski, Tom Donahoe, and, you know, all the guys that were involved with that. It is a very, very in-depth process. I mean, it is, I could go on and on and on how deep these processes are and number of people that were researched and looked at and the questions that were asked and 10, 11, 12-hour interview processes. So, you know, this is a very important job and teams spend a lot of time finding the right person. So, you know, I'm really not surprised that, you know, a team once in a while uncovers, flips a rock over and there's someone there that they really like that comes out of the blue. So, you know, we'll see if he's the right guy, but clearly he was impressive.
Jaws, with contracts and past performances in mind, how much of a turnover do you think this roster will face this offseason?
I expect a lot of turnover. I really do. And I respect what the Eagles tried to do is keep the, you know, the Super Bowl team together as long as they can and maybe sneak in another rodeo, but it just didn't work out. You know, we talked about this, guys, a few weeks ago, that the Eagles were the second oldest team in the National Football League. By the way, the Patriots are the oldest team, and maybe Tom Brady has a lot to do with that at 42. But, you know, when you're an old team and you got beat up football players, you have a lot of injuries, and that's exactly how this played. And I respect what the Eagles did, what Howie did, what Jeffrey did, what Doug did. They tried to give those guys one last hurrah, keep the band together, and maybe get another one, but it didn't work out that way. And you know, I've had this conversation with Dick Vermeil many times, and Dick Vermeil was a very loyal guy to his players. And you can be loyal to a fault, and sometimes you keep a guy too long, and that's when you begin to regress. So that's why I say I think there will be change in this roster and significant change. You know, Howie's already said it. They need to get younger. He's absolutely correct. They need to get faster. You look at the tape, and it's totally obvious. They need to get faster. They need to get quicker. They need to get younger. So that's the off-season mission.
So after wide receiver, Jaws, which I assume is your number one spot, where are you going to improve this team immediately?
You know, although it seems like historically the Eagles have not valued linebackers, as I see the evolution of the game right now in the NFL with these multiple wide receiver sets and scat backs on the backfield. I think the linebacker position is becoming much more valuable. And if you become, you can find that stud linebacker that's a downhill player against the run and can cover in the pass defense, I think that's a guy that would help this team. The Eagles have not had a top-notch linebacker in a number of years. I would like to see them acquire one.
Yeah. Joe, can they put you back on a search committee for a linebacker? It worked for a coach.
Hey, I'll begin my draft work after the Super Bowl.
Fair. Yeah, enjoy your cigars. Enjoy your night out with Ditka and all that. And then get to the draft board.
Hey, no question. Hey, and by the way, the cigar party, Coach Ditka and I have been doing this for this our 11th year doing it. It kicks off Super Bowl week on a Thursday night. We raise money for Gridiron Greats, which is the coach's favorite charity. And, of course, the Jaws' playbook is the beneficiary from my side, where we raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for at-risk youth in our community. So we always appreciate the support we get, especially from this community. And the Super Bowl party is kind of our cigar party is kind of the kickoff of the Super Bowl. So we have a lot of fun, and 1,000 of my closest friends always show up.
It really is incredible. And we love that you were able to put that on and do such a great thing for the community. So Jaws, I do have to ask you this though. Speaking with Ron Jaworski, obviously. When it comes to hiring these new coaches, how things came off to the public after this press conference was that Howie and Doug seemed a little out of touch, and it seems like the owner came in and said, no, we're going to move in a different direction with our offensive coordinator and our wide receivers coach. Is that how you saw it, where it was maybe Jeffrey Lurie swooping in to kind of take care of it, or did you think it was maybe a realization after the press conference of Doug or Howie Roseman?
I really don't know, but of how this played out particularly, I think eventually, you know, it will come out. But what I do know is that Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, and Doug Peterson have always been on the same page. This would really be a difference maker if they didn't agree to these moves. How it happened, I think we'll find out. But I have always felt they have been on the same page as how they want to build this team and how they want to move this team forward. So it looks a little awkward right now. I have to agree with that. But for the most part, these guys literally have seen this team building and this team process through the same lens.
Is there any surprise to you that no fine has come out for Jadeveon Clowney or any type of punitive action?
Yes, I'm very surprised. I knew we'd be talking this morning, and I went through that play because I have my computer at home, and I can watch all the game tapes at home, and I looked at that play probably 100 times last night. I don't think it was a flagrant foul, but it clearly was helmet to helmet, and I am surprised, number one, a penalty wasn't called, and number two, a fine wasn't levied.
What is incidental helmet contact? Because I had never heard that until after that game.
Well, the league has been working in an incredible manner to make player safety the number one priority. Mm-hmm. And I think Roger Goodell, in this regard, you know, has done a terrific job with that. In fact, guys, I was sitting with Roger Goodell mm-hmm. in his box when that play happened, and we had a discussion about it. And clearly, Roger is a guy that is always concerned about player safety. That's why I'm surprised that something hasn't come of it. Bang bang plays, they happen. I mean, it's just nature's game. But the league has been crystal clear about helmet to helmet contact, and that to me was a penalty without a doubt. 100% should have been called. And I am actually surprised. I already stated a fine has not been levied on Jadeveon Clowney.
Ron Jaworski, I'm with you, my friend. I'm absolutely with you. I'm shocked, as a matter of fact. Now, just real quick, football for this weekend. Is there any team that you really like? Like, who are your favorites right now to go at least to the conference finals?
Hey, I got to be honest with you guys. My preseason Super Bowl picks were the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I got one of the teams left. And, hey, I am a huge Andy Reid fan. I would call Andy one of my dear friends, and I'm rooting for the Chiefs in this one. And oh, by the way, way back in 1989, I was a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm pulling for a team that at one time actually paid me.
Ron Jaworski, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point in the offseason as well.
Well, at least around draft time, guys.
Oh, you're damn right. You get back from that, you get that cigar smell off, and then we'll be talking.
Guys, it's going to be in Las Vegas. We got to do a road show.
Jaws, if you're inviting us, we'll see you there. No problem.
Hey, I know people.
There you go. Rod Jaworski, thanks so much, brother.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jaws.
Absolutely, he's the best, man. Did you imagine throwing the cigar party like he throws? Yeah. Him and Ditka?
Oh, yeah. Good Ditka. Times. Yeah.
We could totally just crash that, right? Well, Trey, you could just totally crash that, right?
You don't have to crash it.
Just act like you belong.
Yeah, just walk on in. You walk in dancing. Hey,
what's y'all. Going on here? Yeah.
He'd be like, what did, huh?
How'd you find me?
Hey, Charles, can we get you on tomorrow? I'm busy. 610-632-0975. We got Woogie and we got Tori. Hey, on the line. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up in just a minute, we'll delve a little bit more into the press conference and the aftermath and how this whole thing is playing out with the Eagles. Because as we were saying yesterday, not inspiring confidence. Today, probably even less. Time of the Fanatic, 8:15.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
For Pete's sakes! Coming up, we'll let you hear Tom McGinnis again. He had a great night. Almost as great a night as that other fella did. That Josh Richardson. He had himself a good game, 29 points.
I think he heard me in the second quarter when I looked over at Bob and I said, really need Richardson to be more aggressive here with Embiid out.
Yeah, he was pretty good last night.
10 for 10 from the line.
Step back jumper. Put the Sixers up for good. Little crossover, step back jumper. Good to see that. On his way to 29 points.
Yeah. Sixers finished the game 13-4 run. They only allowed Boston to score 4 points in the final 4:28. Like, that's good. That's something to really, really build on, where their defense gets the way they were. They had Thibault in at the end of the game. He had a huge offensive rebound.
He shut down Kemba.
He is a putt. Like, he really is smart. He didn't score last night, but he had a big effect on that game.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, I only played 18 minutes getting back from the injury. But I really am excited to see these individuals perform with Embiid out of the lineup. I think we're going to see something pretty cool.
I would, I'm looking forward to see, because I want to see Ben Simmons flourish. I want to see all these guys flourish, right? I never want to see the team do poorly. I hope they get that going. And then who knows, maybe right before a big playoff push and all that, oh, wow, they're getting Embiid back. They're playing this well without Embiid. I hope that's the storyline in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Simmons obviously has his clear frustrations we all know about. It's all been discussed ad nauseum. But for a second, can we just appreciate the fact that our 6'11 point guard can pick the pocket of Kemba Walker?
Yeah, really.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah, by the way, Kemba Walker, 20 shots last night for 26 points.
Yeah, like, Ben's defense, I know it's... I'm not trying to sound like it's a cop-out for him not shooting, because he still needs to shoot. But, man, his defense is unbelievable.
Okay, so that's the thing that frustrates... Like, Ben Simmons does so many things at an all-star, MVP
type. Just
this
one thing he can't do.
Or
won't do.
It's the most basic thing.
I know.
Like, in basketball, you can't go out there by yourself and practice stealing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can go out there and practice shooting by yourself. I remember, I think every coach I ever had growing up always said, you know, basketball is the one sport that you can go out there and you can increase your game so much by just going out there by yourself.
Yeah.
Like baseball, yeah, you can maybe throw a ball against a wall, but that's only going to make you so much better. Whatever it might be. But basketball, you can go out there and there's a hoop right there. You got the ball, you're good to go. Like, to me, it's just crazy that you can't do it. Woogie, what's up, Woogie?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I wanted to talk about the fact that Carson Wentz took him out of the game.
Took himself out, yes.
I'm a massive Carson Wentz fan. I know that they wouldn't be there without him. He's the best player on the team, hands down. But I just think under the circumstances, a winner-go-home game, and I love to hear Trey's thoughts on this, too, is how would the locker room perceive someone who took himself out of the game, knowing that it's the biggest game of his career and no one came up to him and said, what's going on? Why don't you know where you are? Whatever it is, and How is that perceived by the locker room? And I mean, I got to think to myself, if this happens to Brady, he's not taking himself out of the game. He's hiding and he's doing everything he can in his power to make sure he stays on the field.
Well, first of all, the locker room isn't, you know, they understand what the situation is. I mean, it was a concussion. So, I mean, you know, I think everybody understands what the situation is with him, and that if he's dizzy, if he can't remember stuff that happened on the field, then they understand it.
He only played two more plays after the concussion.
Five.
And he was clear.
He played five.
Okay, five. And he was cleared to play yesterday. So the severity of the concussion, I guess, wasn't as bad as some of you see players sitting out weeks with a concussion. So
hold on a second. Some of the stuff you're saying, he wasn't cleared yesterday. Doug Peterson says he thinks that if they had a game this week, there was a possibility he could have been cleared.
Okay, well.
That's not saying that he was cleared yesterday. So.
Okay, but he wasn't ruled out.
There was no ruling because there is no game.
My point is, in the locker room, how would the players perceive the fact that a star quarterback took himself out of the biggest game of his career? It wasn't that he was prompted to be taken out. He actually went to the sideline and says, I'm not feeling good. I think I got to be taken out of the game.
I don't think that anybody would blame him for that. In that locker room, just because they know the seriousness of what a concussion can bring.
Yeah, I mean, can't believe we're having this conversation.
I had a buddy tell me that he read a story the other day that said Carson couldn't even name who they had beaten the week prior in the medical test.
If that's the case,
it's pretty damn serious.
After the hit came and he stood under center, he was in shotgun one time, and you see him blinking his eyes. He's looking at the play clock, and he's blinking his eyes like we all do when things are blurry and you can't see all that well. Then he goes to the sideline. And he has his head down, rubbing his eyes, and he's looking up and trying to focus. I don't know exactly, but it seemed to me pretty clear he was seeing double. You want not only do you want your quarterback not playing when he's seeing double as wanting to win the football game, but more importantly, B, as a person, you don't want him possibly sustaining further injury in now what we know about CTE and all that. I mean, that's so asinine to say, oh, Tom Brady wouldn't have. Get out of here. Stop. It's ridiculous for people that even doubt him for a second for taking himself out.
Carson Wentz played, what, six games last year with a broken back.
Threw a touchdown pass with a knee that was shredded.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and not doubt the man's toughness.
My God.
I think one of the things that's getting lost, and it's because of the terminology, what came out from Josh McCown when he said after the game, Carson told me he wasn't feeling good. People hear that and they're like, oh, he had a tummy ache. Mm. No, the guy had a concussion. And by the way, after he was hit in the back of the head, he threw a bullet down the middle of the field, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which got nullified because of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed in the game. It wasn't like he was laying there and he was like, I don't feel good. Get me out of here. Like, he tried to get through it. I give him all the credit in the world for something that, like a head injury, he would notify doctors about. If it was a knee injury, a broken finger, God forbid, anything like that, and he's toughing it out, that I get. Okay, Carson, come on. You can't play because your left hand, maybe you broke a finger, whatever it might be. That I would understand a little bit. But when it's your brain, I'm going to go ahead and not mess with that. And when it's someone who, by the way, has fought back from two very serious injuries, a fracture in his back and two torn ligaments in his knee, I'm going to say, yeah, that guy's a pretty tough SOB. I'm not going to call that into question too many times. And this is certainly not a case where I'm going
to
do that.
This just in, brains are important.
Especially to the most cerebral position in all of sports.
Jamie, on our first show ever, I said no hot takes. Okay?
Sorry.
So please.
I went there.
You job. Now the calls come in. Brains are important.
Lava hot.
Happy New Year. oh, here we go. Torrey! Thanks for calling in today. Did you have fun last night?
Hey. Yeah, I did. I heard you guys calling me out, so I'm like, I guess I got to call.
we needed to hear from you.
I usually only like to call in when I have, you know, some real good content. But first, I just wanted to say thank you. Yesterday was a great day with you guys. The Sixers won. Mike Rowe was fired. All we need now is the Clowney fine. Oh, yeah.
that's a good point.
And then I just wanted to say, last year I put on the radio randomly one day. I didn't really listen to the morning show. And after I put it on that one day, I never turned you guys off. So after a couple of months, you guys were talking about how you were a new show. So when I put you guys on that one day, I didn't know it was one of your first shows. I just thought you guys were always on the air. Yeah, and I just fell in love.
Oh.
I never turned you guys off since then.
Well,
kind of going off the last caller, I'll defend you guys as hard as I said defend Carson Wentz forever.
Thank you very much for saying. And guess what? We fell in love right back with you and your sister and your little family affair that you guys had out last night. That was awesome.
Yeah, she said like she was gonna feel out of place or something, but she left there like so excited. She's a fan now. She made a Twitter for the first time sitting at the table last night. So.
Wait a minute, Trey, you were sitting down that way. Were you aware of this?
What's that?
She made a Twitter account.
Oh, really?
At the table.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Oh, that was
a good time.
So it was her random Twitter account I retweeted with pictures last night.
Yeah. I was like, okay, Mark, retweeting her, but not retweeting me.
Mark, Tori. Yeah, I retweeted this morning when I saw it.
I know. You did. But I just wanted to say, like, thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Keep doing what you do. You guys are a great show, and you're even better people. And I might prove that.
Well, thank you. Tori, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Go Birds.
There we go, Tori. Thank you. Yeah, Tori was sitting at the bar last night, and she had a lovely lady sitting next to her, turned out to be her sister. Sister had a big Sixers shirt on, right? And I was like, oh, good for her. She's just a sports fan.
They even went late to the Sixers game because they got up towards the end of dinner and they were like, yeah, we got to go. I was like, oh, where are you going? She's like, well, we have tickets to the Sixers game, but we didn't want to miss this. I was like, that makes me feel all warm and cuddly. Yeah, really.
And when did the Sixers start to rally?
When Victoria and her sister got in the house.
Boom. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Huh. Coincidence? I think not.
We're problem solvers is what we are. Problem solvers. Philly's boy is tweeting me saying some callers are morons. It's a freaking concussion.
Yeah, there's not really like gray area with concussions.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Kamuga Ruje-Hill got reprimanded by the head coach and the staff for hiding one just a few weeks prior.
And I even said after that game, it was after the Miami game. Well, when it came out a week or so later, when it came out, I think it was Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia that had it. And it was like, dude, all the stuff that's going on in the league right now. I remember coming down on Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that's going on in the league right now, all the player safety, all the concussion protocol, all that. And you're just like, yeah, I'm going to hide this?
Yeah, we just got a tweet from our guy, Jay Bink, and he's right. He said, number 11 couldn't have won on Sunday either course he chose. If he taps out and asks for an evaluation, some deem him soft. He didn't want it. If he stays in and plays poorly, he can't handle the big stage in the playoffs. He came up small. The dude can't win at anything he does.
Yeah, that's
kind of true.
Double-edged sword for him last night.
Yeah, it really is.
Rock and a hard place. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jimmy Kemsky. 9:30, we're going to talk to our good friend, Ricardo Longo, who runs Grand Cafe Lock. We had us there last night for our first ever listener dinner.
Can he come over to my house and make me that lasagna sometime? Because that was ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you right now. My Aunt Ann would. Well, I haven't told her yet, but I'm gonna call my Aunt Ann because that was her recipe.
Uh-huh.
She's gonna cry. She's gonna cry when I tell her that they made pastagena last night.
Pastagena
is what we call it. I called it lasagna.
It was delicious
when I was younger, and she's like, no, it's pastagena. She says she actually made it after my grandmother's recipe. Hmm. So how about that? But that was what we enjoyed last time.
I need more of that in my life.
Yeah, that was quite tasty.
Our man Kevin in Newcastle. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, look, I'm gonna talk about the Sixers, but that idiot that was just on, man. Now, like I said, I'm a Marine, and I'm sure back in the day we did all kinds of things and we trudged through. But anything dealing with your head, man, you just didn't go on. I mean, that's just idiotic, man. It's just idiotic. Now, as far as like the Sixers game, man, me and one of my Marine Corps buddies went, man, and had a great time and everything like that. And it showed me, now I'm going to tell you, Bob, I know they played Ben at center at the five before, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't like that lineup as far as having Burke, Richardson, and Korkmaz in there. I mean, Ben could handle the post up and with Scott and all that, but Korkmaz with the other two guards, I just didn't like that lineup, man. I really didn't.
Yeah, that isn't a good lineup. You're right, Kev.
No, I didn't like that. Now, as far as us wanting to take Ben to take a jump shot away, I'm going to tell you something, man. Down the stretch, that 10 to 12-foot hook shot in that lane both times, I said, Ben, that's all I need from you, baby. If you can do that, that's still going to make people honest, man. Hey, so I was happy on that note, man. And plus, just beaten the stinking Celtics 3 games in a row. I told my buddy when it was like 94, 92, I said, man, this reminds me of the games when I was down there courtside, when it would be Bird and Doc, and then we going back and forth, back and forth. You just had that intensity, man, and it was a great feeling. Now, the last thing I want to comment on is, you know, Dougie P did his press conference and this, that, and the other. Everybody was upset that he said he's back and growing back and this. Now people are upset that he let him go. Let me tell you something. If y'all had guys never played poker, you got to have a poker face. These guys, since when they going to tell us the truth? I don't care how much you pressure them, man. They're not going to tell us the truth. So they got rid of them bums. Sayonara, see ya, and let's move on like Jaws and them said. That's all.
Right.
C-A-G-I-E-S. Next year, baby.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, buddy. And I made this point earlier, but everyone's happy with the end result. No one's saying, oh, how could you fire Mike Rowe or Carson Walsh? Like, no one's saying that.
Right.
I think the nicest thing I said about Carson Walsh yesterday was that the guys on the practice squad that he had his hands on more so than like the regular starters did well. So those are the guys that were more coached up. Now, that's with that being said, I wouldn't have put money on the Eagles to keep Carson Walsh and certainly not Mike Rowe. The Eagles eventually made the right decision, but the way they got there was asinine. To use Jaws's word from 8 o'clock, bizarre. It was a bizarre press conference, and we all agree with that. And for this to be the end result is even more bizarre when your head coach came out and flat out said both Mike Rowe and Carson Walsh will be back next year. Then he backtracked later in the conversation, as we all know. They backtracked it, saying, oh, we know we've got evaluations and all that. He wouldn't even champion Jim Schwartz coming back just yet. Everybody's under evaluation. And both Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson were, like, smiling about it, laughing about it. Oh, no, we got to have evaluations. Well, I'm sorry. It was already announced in your press conference that you already brought back or you're going to be bringing back two of the guys that most people think should be gone. And it's not a good look when the next day, it seems like the owner said, hell no, those two guys are gone. Look at this outcry from the media. Look at this outcry from the fans. We look like smacked asses right now. And I think he swooped in and he made the decision. And I'll paint the picture for people again. This is how I think it goes. Right now, the Eagles are an old station wagon. You got Jeffrey Lurie in the driver's seat. You got Howie Roseman in the back. You got Doug Peterson in the way back. He ain't even facing the front. Can't even read the road signs. Has no idea where we're going. That's what it's like. Can we stop to pee? Shut up back there. It's not happening.
I used to love that seat.
My cousins had the station wagon. I'm picturing being in my cousin, but you know, my cousin's station wagon.
With the old Volvo station wagon. It was awesome.
My cousin's up in Allentown. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Sitting way back.
And you like wave at people and try to get the truck drivers to honk the horn.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We would count how many people we got thumbs up.
Yeah.
From D.C. to Baltimore, 81. That's not bad.
You still remember that?
Damn right I do. We didn't have these iPads that the people were highfalutin. These
kids and their Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Punks.
The guy in the Lexus gave us a thumbs up. That's worth two. 610-632-0975.
Simpler times.
We did a great job in our own childhood.
Yeah.
Parents had no idea we
were
there.
Make a game out of anything.
Yeah, exactly. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. It's funny, my cousin Jess is actually texting me right now about it. It's pretty funny. Time for the finale. Oh, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Jimmy Kempsky, top of the hour. 9:30, we'll have Ricardo Longo, who does the runs Grand Cafe L'Aquila. And right when we come back, we'll let you hear again the sounds of Tom McGinnis calling the game with the Sixers win over the Celtics last night without Joel Embiid. Time of the finale. 8:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming out, speak to Jimmy Kempsky at 9 o'clock, 610-632-0975. And we have an ultimate Birds moment. An ultimate Birds moment. Imagine, like, how much money was at stake for this Champion Jeopardy stuff? How much money?
A million, right?
It was $1 million on the line?
Yeah, I believe so.
And they were playing for points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a three-day contest, and they did two games each night. So it was different than your normal Jeopardy. It was great TV.
So go... It's the ultimate go birds when you just lost like $1 million and you're like, bap, the hell with it, go birds.
Like that basically.
That is the most Philly thing ever, and I love it. And we'll let you hear what that is in just a minute here. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, 76ers took care of business last night. And how about our man Tom McGinnis? Not only did the Sixers play great, but Tom McGinnis on top of his game, as you would expect for a Sixers-Celtics matchup here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Take a listen.
Oh, man. Big screen. Walker got knocked down. Here's another shot. Richardson with three. Kemba Walker must be thinking, not again. It's in the lane. Simmons adjusts it. Puts it up with the right hand. Here's James Ennis. Three ball. Good. Precious triple. Left side. Timeout. Boston. Ennis knocking down the three. A 12-0 run. Batted away by Tobias, who gave baseline help. Sixers come up with it. Boston with its 10th turnover. Richardson to Scott. He catches. He shoots. It's in the air. It's good. Over the outstretched on of Tatum. Harris on the line on Tyson again. He went for the jam, didn't get the dunk, but he put it in. Tobias Harris goes right at Tyson, and the Sixers have taken the lead. An 11-0 run. Here comes Harris to Simmons. Lob play. Horford slams it. Ben Simmons up top, and Horford with a two-hand slam. Simmons throws it away, but then Simmons with a remarkable comeback. He picks it off, and now he races down the court. Simmons don't look past. Pell catches it. Left-hand layup. Norvell Pell. He puts it up and in. Turns. Pell blocks him. Get that out of here. Cantor, get it out. And a great block by Pell. Left hand dribble. Pull up two. Right wing. It's good again. Six straight by Josh Richardson. Cantor with it. He walked. He's blocked again by Pell. And as Cantor, learn your lesson, big fella. Norvell Pell, a force at the rim. Nice. Corner shot by Furkan. It's up. It's good. Park Maz is hot. Richardson's going to get the ball. And the Sixers are going to beat Boston. A two-hand slam by Josh Richardson. Fittingly enough, he has 29 points, and the Sixers are leading 109-98.
Richardson with 29, Simmons with 19, Horford with 17, Harris with 16, Scott came in with 7, and then Norvell Pell had 2 blocks that went for 5 points in the other direction. A 3 and a 2. Like, that was just a great team win from the Sixers last night. And Jamie, you references 10 for 10 from the foul line. Josh Richardson getting it done.
Yeah, this team, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to want to have the desire to get to the free throw line a lot, outside of even Ben Simmons. Like, I think Tobias and Josh need to try and get there more often than they do.
Matisse Thybulle played 19 minutes, excuse me, scored no points, unfortunately. But at least good to have him back in that lineup and get down on the floor for as many minutes as he did play.
Yeah, he had a really, really big offensive rebound late in the game, too, where it was Sixers had gotten an offensive rebound, got a shot from the side. I think it was Tobias Harris. He was on the weak side, which is a great rebounding position when somebody shoots. And Kemba Walker went up just a fraction early to get the rebound, and Thybulle read it and gave him like a nice little nudge, and then was able to go up perfectly timed and tip it away, grab it, and get the ball back out. I think ultimately Richardson got fouled, as they were running out the clock. But he just does 0 points last night, as you said, Mark, but he does so many things on the floor. He was in at the end of the game. That says a lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He was in at the end of the game.
He actually had three. He had three offensive boards in the game in total. 610-632-0975. By the way, Trey, I'm surprised you didn't say anything about my mug.
It is very nice.
This is the first mug. I don't usually bring a mug to work. I usually have my little travel mug.
John.
Yeah. What happened to that?
Travel, John.
Yeah.
I left it in the car because Toots dropped me off last night.
Yeah. You also left your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. You were a mess last night.
I was in a hurry.
I walked in and I see your wife and I'm like, all right, he broke the rule.
I did break the rule.
We weren't bringing wives.
I was embarrassed.
All made up, ready to rock and roll. And I thought, okay, here's how we roll.
She called me and she's like, hey, are you there?
Yeah, she called me too.
Bobby.
She didn't call me.
Sorry. Oh, Trey, that's messed up.
She called me asking for you, Trey.
Okay.
What the hell? What's going on here?
And I was like, we'll be there in 5. She's like, yeah, my idiot husband left his phone in the car,
that's
so
me.
I need to drop it off. And I was like, I'll be with you. And next thing I know, she's like, I'm actually having wine now. I was like, good move.
I was in a hurry because I wanted to hit an ATM before I went into Lockwood because I appreciate service people,
yeah,
and I tip in cash.
That's how I roll. All right. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I was in a
cash
hurry.
Cash is king, as they say.
I think that's the first I've ever heard that. So I was in a hurry. I ran out of the car and wanted to get cash and all that. So I left my regular coffee thing in the car. And my wife drove the car home after dropping my cell phone off with me and whatever. Long story short. So do you want to read that to the good people, Trey? Can you read that? Can you read it from where you are?
It says, thanks for not hitting it and quitting it.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
That's what it says. That's my first Father's Day present. Mm-hmm. So little Toots comes in the world, I get a new mug. It's a good deal. That's what I said. It's a good deal. Coming up, we'll let you hear the greatest Go Birds moment in one second.
And by the way, our buddy Bill Strobel tweets in and says the Jeopardy tournament continues next week.
Oh, wait, with them same fellas?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how does this end? Is there like a steel cage match? Because it seems like it's going to go on for a while.
Yeah, next week. I don't know. It's been confusing.
All right, T-Will, what's going on, brother?
Fellas, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for the cigar last night, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, Mark, thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you on.
Hey, listen, I felt obligated because everyone called and said thank you. I feel like that I was a black sheep, even though I don't call that much in the morning, but thank you, man.
Oh, stop.
Last night was absolutely amazing, you know? I got to piggyback what Jamie said. I could take a whole pan of that lasagna and call it a month. Bro.
Oh, I might call my Aunt Ann on the air just to let her know that they used her recipe.
I'm telling you, I don't think the people would understand just by us talking about it and everyone that was there, Mike and Grass and Vicente and Tori, everybody else that was there, Quaz, you don't understand how that lasagna just had the whole table quiet.
That's right. The things got real quiet when that lasagna hit the table.
That thing, man. Oh, man. That thing was hitting, man. Jeez. But thank you, Mark, man. That was an amazing night. And, I appreciate everything you guys do. And you guys keep up the good work. And I got to piggyback with Mike from Del Ran said, I'm riding with you. So,
thanks, brother.
I'm here with you.
Good to have you in the car with us, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, listen, man, that's all I got. I have nothing else. Go Bird, 1098. And then, Trey, make it wiggle.
Thanks, T-Will. Yeah, Trey enjoyed showing off his tattoo.
Say that was a tattoo reference, right?
Yeah,
because I looked down at one point, and Trey had his forearm out, and he was showing people the Pete and Pete tattoo. And he was like, I could see him being like, yeah, you can make it wiggle if you'd slap it right there.
Yeah, I heard, at one point I heard Trey go, no, go ahead, flick it. Go ahead. you flick that ass right there, boom, it starts wiggling. That's how it works. It was all a learning experience for all of us last night.
Great time. Really enjoyed hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It really was, man. It was a blast. It was an absolute blast. Now, Mike and Del Ran, whenever he calls in, he always ends with Go Birds, and T. Will just ended with Go Birds. Well, this is the most ultimate Go Birds experience because this fella who's from Lancaster, Brad Rutter, is...
By the way, the winningest contestant in American game show history.
Yes. Brad Rutter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
Yes, uh-huh. The most successful in any game show, not just Jeopardy.
Yeah. Wait, has he been on another game show?
No, he's just cleaned up at Jeopardy.
But he's
so
been
long.
On Jeopardy like three times, right?
Oh, remember yeah.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.